but
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Good evening and welcome to the edition of the International Black Summit Talk Show. This is your host, Lenar, and yeah, I can say this. I am tickled pink and particularly delighted that tonight's guest in our interview with Summit Leaders is J. Kenneth Young. J. Kenneth is affectionately known as Big Daddy, J.K., J. Kenneth, Kenny, Kenny Young, and I call him Bud. He participated in the creation of the International Black Summit by attending the very first formulation meeting in Chicago back in May of 1991 with about 20 other people. This and subsequent meetings and conference calls led to the first annual International Black Summit event in Atlanta, Georgia, October 1991. At that event, J. Kenneth facilitated the conversation from what we call the back of the room, and during the clearing session at the end of that first summit event, J.K. was acknowledged as a facilitator, and we'll talk about that a bit more, what that all means. He became part of the group now known as the 5 OGs, the original 5 facilitators of the conversation of the International Black Summit. Since that time, J.K. has served the summit as a senior facilitator, facilitator body representative on the coordinating committee, and briefly as transition team leader. In addition, he facilitated many, many, many summit chairs here in the Chicago area, and while the landmark forum was a prerequisite for the International Black Summit, he led introductions to the forum. Kenneth J. Young has a career that spans 3 decades, and he's just told me 5 continents, and as many industries, and has spent his life empowering, encouraging, and inspiring others. He is the founder and CEO of the Young Group, a business consulting firm that helps clients reveal passion, recover vision, and transform both into action plans that produce fulfilling and rewarding results. Additionally, J. Kenneth and his wife, Karen, are the owners of a Huntington Learning Center franchise, which is a supplemental education center that helps children improve their skills, catch up and keep up to their grade standard, and increase their confidence. These days, through the Young Group, J.K. serves clients worldwide from offices in the South Central Ohio area. And so coming to you this evening from Ohio, and here with me is my friend and a mentor, tutor of mine, J. Kenneth, whom I am proud to call Bud Young. Welcome, Bud.
Wow. Who is that?
Yeah. Yes.
But you know what? No, it's amazing. I'm listening to all that, and I'm saying, yeah. But you know, the only thing that sticks out of all that you said is the transitional team leader for a moment.
Oh, well, and you know that's the truth.
Hey, I everything. There's no accidents, but that's the one that sticks out.
Right. But, you know, that was what was called for in the moment.
I got it. I'm just telling you, you know.
Got it.
Funny how the mind works, you know.
Yes.
And clearly I was in a transition. I transitioned in and out of that position, and it's all good. But, you know, the mind.
Gotcha.
That's the one that I stuck out with. So, yeah, hey, thank you.
You are welcome. So, given what you just said about that part that stuck out in your mind, what more would you like to say as introduction to yourself? Let people know who you are, our listeners know.
I'm not sure. Let's just talk, because there's a lot of things came up when you read what you read.
Okay.
I started thinking about where it all started and like that. So let's just talk, and I'll get it in.
Okay, good, because that is a question. So you were there, I remember when I met you, and we'll get to that in a moment, but
sure.
You were there from the start, from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and there are a lot of listeners, a lot of people who participate in the summit now who don't have an idea of that. So let's go back and let's talk about that for a moment. And at the time, you were with Landmark, correct? So how did you become involved with the International Black Summit? And it didn't have a name when it first started.
That's right. That's right. Well, I had been involved with Landmark / S since 1978. This is like a long answer to the beginning, but I think it's pretty important.
So let's tell our listeners who don't know, because there are people who listen to this show, people send it to their friends, and they don't know what Landmark is or EST. So what would you like to say in way of, you know, what Landmark is?
I think I'm going to go back to what EST was.
Okay, great.
EST was a two-weekend program to help you transform the things you've been trying to change or have been putting up with.
In your life.
In your life.
Right.
And at that time, when I took the S training in September of 1978, I had just completed a 20-month drug rehab program.
Wow.
So I was completing the program, and I don't know if you know, when people, when they complete substance abuse program, even though they may stop using, their mind is still like they think they're still an addict. And
okay.
When I did the S training, I got real complete that my addiction, my life as addiction was over. And I could actually create a whole new life. Those weren't the terms I used back then, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that my addiction was over and I had a whole new life in front of me. And that was the beginning of the possibility of transformation, that there was a distinction, that there was a program, that there was conversations, that could have that kind of impact on me and have me transform my drug addicted criminal life to anything that I wanted to, was a set of distinctions that I was just very much wanted to participate in and give it away.
Got it.
And I was so moved by it that from 78 all the way up to the mid-90s, I participated fully in EST. EST transformed itself to Landmark Education in 1976. 86, excuse me, in 86. And I just stayed participating in it. And in 86, 87, when they changed the name to Werner Earhart and Associates, and the forum was created, I became a staff member. I signed up. At the time, I was going to be a forum leader. That was my thing, to be a forum leader / trainer.
Okay.
Because I was just so moved about giving this away.
Right.
So 86, 87, so I was staff in Boston, New York, and then I got assigned to Chicago. Now,
okay. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, once after being in Chicago, when I got to Chicago, and even before I got to Chicago, I knew that transformation was very powerful, but I didn't see that black people were engaged in it. So
okay.
I started taking on meeting other graduates in the Chicago area, see what we could do to have more black people participate in this work.
Mm-hmm.
And four of us, started a group called the Transform Black Network, TBN. Brenda
okay.
Gill, Eddie Gill, Linda Coran, Kumba, and myself.
Wow, and those are many of those people I know here in the Chicago area and, you know, I'm in conversation with.
Right. And we all were, like, committed to taking the work of transformation to the black community. Then Brenda Gill got a call from someone that, I guess it was Pat Reporter or Catherine or Joe, the group of people that were in the Wisdom course. And they had a similar theme about getting black folks together and that they were having a weekly or a biweekly conference call on Sunday. Brenda, the first time she got the call, she didn't think very much of it, from what I remember. So she never told anybody about it. They called to patch her into this daisy chain. Her answer machine picked it up.
Wow.
She wasn't there, but when she came back, she had heard as much as the answer machine could record. So then she called me either that night or the next morning and said, hey, well, there are some people out here that are up to something, and they're on this call, blah, blah, blah. So I think the following Sunday or the following call, the Chicago contingent was on the call. And I think we may have had one or two calls just sharing, and we just realized that when it got to about 18 or 17 people, the daisy chain didn't work, and that we should just get together.
So let me just break in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy chain, because in some circles it has a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But daisy chain, back in the day, this was before conference calling. So, you know, and three wings. So you hooked, well, that's what you did. You hooked up people, and then they hooked up people, and so on and so on and so on.
Right.
That was our version of conference call.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. So we decided that, you know, we just can't, you know, we have to meet in person. And it was fortunate that I think I was on staff, and I had a great relationship with the center manager, and in fact, all of us did who were here in Chicago, and she said it would be no problem to host, that we would host the first meeting of black folks getting together to inquire, and this is what we're doing, inquiring into how do we make our contribution to the community, the black community. And about 20 of us got together for 2 days. Oh, 20 of us got together for a two-day workshop, whatever, and the rest is kind of like history.
And the 20 of you got together here in Chicago.
That's correct, yeah.
Right. And I understand there were several of those phone calls, and it got larger and larger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, so large that you met, and like you said, the rest is history.
Right.
And then that first, so you said the rest is history. And so some of that history led to the October 1991 gathering in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
That's what came out of the Chicago meeting, correct?
Right. Now, the Chicago meeting, it was interesting. The Chicago meeting was just people getting, I won't say just people getting together. We got together. And Friday night, Saturday morning, it was great. We got all these black folks from different parts of the country. You know, it was like, oh, great. And then the next, somewhere in early Saturday morning to Saturday noon, everybody's position kind of came up. You know, it got ugly. But it got ugly. You know, not really bad, but, you know, everybody's personalities and their definition and, you know, what they are that black is kind of showed up. Not that people were talking about it.
Right.
But, you know, these different positions started showing up. And, I think Anthony, who no one knew, Anthony was the only one that no one knew. I knew everyone. The thing it's interesting about it, I knew everyone there of the 20 people except Anthony.
Was Perry there at the time, too?
No, Perry wasn't there.
Okay, got it.
It was just Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the evening, part of the thing was like, well, who the hell was he? Where'd he come from? And then he had this history of having done a black training California, back in 79.
Yeah, okay.
And so he, Perry, and his then-wife, Robin, was a group of black folks that took on having black training. So they had some history in mobilizing or at least directing folk. So that's who he was. And Neil Mahoney, the trainer at the time, told someone that we should contact him with this effort that we're doing because he's someone that's been into the work. But anyway, bottom line, you know, we got together. We started disliking each other. We realized that we were here for a bigger purpose, that maybe what our job was to not have our differences be an issue and just come back in love. So all we did was just communicated and kept hearing different points of view, different things of what's important to you about black, what's important to me, and all that's trusting, beginning to trust each other. And at the end, come Sunday, we were all back. Now I won't even say back in love. We were all in love with each other.
That's great.
And we said, wow, we need to make this available. And it was when we got to that point, we said, we need to make this available to everybody. And that was when we decided that we would have a gathering to, in essence, not go over what we did, but handle those spaces. Because the spaces that we created in that first meeting were the spaces that we went through in the first summit.
Which is why I'm here looking at the questions and declarations from previous summits, and the first one was Atlanta, Georgia, 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that was engaged in and the question that went out that had people come was, who am I in relationship to the black community?
Mm-hmm.
What is it to be black?
Right.
And I don't have a copy of that original letter that went out, but I've heard stories about it.
Yeah, Paul McMickle. Paul,
go ahead.
Paul wrote that letter.
Paul McMickle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, who is in the Chicago area, but I know he's around the art center a lot here in Chicago. But yeah, I just remember Oren, who's always saying that the letter pretty much said something to the effect of, the only way you should be missing this meeting is if you're dead. You know, and then you should resurrect yourself to be here. You know, something like that.
So let me tell you another thing that happened. So, like, once we decided that we're going to have another gathering, the question was, like, how do we get the word out? Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Most of us at that time knew of it. A lot of people that participated in the forum, but didn't know people. It's only a few people. Fortunate for me, given that I had been on staff in about 5 different cities, I knew a lot of people. And the first person I called was Glenn Greenwich, because Glenn
and I in New York.
In New York, because he and I was on staff and at the Sixth Day.
Okay.
And I called him, and I think they were just starting. What's the name of that group? In New York,
PDAG.
PDAG.
People of African Descent Empowerment Group.
Right. That PDAG had just started, had been up and running. So when I told him, he said he would share that with his PDAG group, and then that's how they got folded in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have been, you know, a real guiding force, you know, a constituent ever since.
Right.
And so then, there in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1991, from what I understand, is that's when the name came up. It came through at that session, and there was a group that, and this is what I understand, with Olumide Sean Brown, who a group of folks got together and went off into a room and put everything that had come from it together and came up with the name and the purpose, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're pretty much right on. It was Saturday night, Sunday. We had
got,
because the event started Friday night, Friday and Saturday, but pretty much Saturday, everybody went through the spaces that I described that the 20 of us went through.
Right.
And everybody was, like, really empowered, like, it was just being related. The value of the first one was just getting how related we were to each other, that we now have a family that you know, that covers from New York to California to Atlanta, and that it was just that kind of camaraderie and connectedness that was really good. So we said, okay, we got to capture this, and how are we going to capture this? So some of the people who could write, Sean Brown and some other folk. So, okay, we're going to take all the notes, kind of recreate what happened, and come back with our expression. I'll say expression because they didn't come back with intention writing declaration. They come back.
Okay.
Declaration is what we called after the fact. But
okay,
it was to recap what had happened. And they came back, and they nailed it.
And so for those of you listening, what they nailed was the name, the International Black Summit, and what they nailed was the purpose, yes?
Yeah, I think, I don't even
or
think.
Was it the declaration?
The declaration.
Okay.
I think,
and,
yeah.
So, and so I'd just like to presence that here in the moment. And the declaration of the International Black Summit is, we declare ourselves, our community, and all community. You're welcome to say it with me, bud. Whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And that is what came out of Atlanta, Georgia, on October 7th of 1991.
Wow. Yep.
Powerful. And so if the purpose did not come about then, or do you recall that it came about? Because I was told really, in agreement with you, that it came out after the fact, that the Declaration came first.
Right. And that's, you know, that's my memory.
Okay. Okay. And so I would like then to say that the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for people of black African descent to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world.
Mm.
And that's what I walked into in 1992. In July of 1992, I was in the Landmark Forum because I had been looking around for, well, where are the black people in this transformed conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to that, I had been one of a handful of people of, you know, black African descent in these transformational things. And that was okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
Until this thing began to happen, that I would be out downtown in the Loop here in Chicago or, you know, at other places, and I would see some of these people who had I had been in these touchy-feely transformed events with, and they would pass me on the street, not recognize me, you know, or when I went up to them at other places and went to greet them, you know, they couldn't recall who I was, or it occurred to me, like, felt embarrassed. Or, you know, that was the feeling I got because I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I was like, you know what, had enough, want to be with the black people. You know? So I was excited when my friend called up and said, hey, you know, and my Caucasian friend, Jewish, she'd probably say I'm not Caucasian, called me and said, I know where the black people are, and they're with this, the Landmark Forum. And you have to do that. But they're in the International Black Summit, but you have to take this forum in order to do the summit. I said, I don't care what it is, sign me up, I'm doing it. And that's when I met you. And I was, you know, because I was all lit up and turned on, and I got the paperwork, and I was like, yeah, I want to be with these people. And here you come strolling in. I get the declaration, and I say, okay, this is interesting, but what does this mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I met Kumba in the hallway, and she says, well, you got to talk with Jay Kenneth. He can explain it all to you. And I was like, okay, cool. So here comes this, in my words, skinny man, shaking all over, and, you know, got this little, like, quick, you know, nickel dime slick. That's how you occurred for me at the time. And I was like, oh my Lord, what am I going to do here? It's like, but, and I said, you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm going to this thing. It doesn't matter what he says or what he does. I'm not going to allow his appearance to mess with my thing, getting my stuff. So we talked for like, I think it was maybe like 5 minutes. And I said, well, what is this about? And you asked me, I don't know if you remember this. You said, well, did you read it? And I said, yes, I read it. He said, well, it's everything is right there. And in my words, in my way, it's like I dismissed you from that moment. I was like, that's it. I'm out of here. I was like, okay, thank you. You know, I'll deal with it. So that was my, you know, meeting you. Do you recall our meeting there?
I remember the meeting. I remember where we met. I don't remember the conversation. We met right in a little small office coming in through the side door.
Yes.
And it was, I thought, about a 10-minute meeting, but, yep.
Right, right, right. And then, you know, life, no accidents, no, you know, no accidents. So, and this was, like, really close to the time for the summit, because the summit was in August in 1992 in Highland Park, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I took a forum in July.
Mm-hmm.
And that next weekend, I came out of the forum and took the advanced course, and then there was the summit. That's how my weekends went, bang, bang, bang.
Mm.
And so, you know, I didn't know anybody. I think Kumba gave me Sheila James' number, or it was on the forum, and I called her, and she said, no, it's not too late, come on. I made all my arrangements and, you know, drove and hooked me up with a roommate. And then we get to the room on Friday, because I didn't go to the Thursday night event where everybody was gathered. But we got to the room, And when it came time to break up into the groups, first off, we get down there, and who do I see up on the front on the podium?
Skinny.
Jay Kenneth Young, that skinny, quick-moving guy. I was like, oh, my Lord. Okay, and I'm still committed. And then, it, you know, when I really got it, it was like, okay, look, this is, you know, you just got to be with this. Who was in my group or who I was in the group with was your mother
mm-hmm.
and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a totally different energy, understanding of you
mm-hmm.
from being in relationship with them because they were great. And so what I made up, including you, was that, look, these people are this great, then he's got to be great too, and I'm just not seeing it. And they were what allowed me, you know, to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am ever so grateful for that, for your mom, because she is truly, truly a gentle woman. She has a very great spirit, and I really liked your mom and your sister. I had a great time with the both of them that weekend.
Yeah.
So, there you are in front of the room, Highland Park. But let me go back then. So how is your mom?
She's okay. She's okay. She, you know, she has Alzheimer's.
Right.
And we look like right now she's in the hospital with some breathing problems, issues. But looks like we're going to have to transition her to assisted living so she can have a little bit more supervised care.
Right. But she's, you know, she, like I said, who she is for me is that great spirit who kept standing for her son,
mm-hmm.
who kept standing for him because she saw, you know, the beauty and she saw Bud. She saw my Bud in him. And I was like, yeah. And I know about your sister, but our listeners don't. So, you know, please presence her for me.
Yeah, my sister, well, she passed in 2001.
Right.
And she's my, you know, my big sister. I'm looking at her.
Right.
For those of you who have big sisters, she is my big sister. I still hear her voice. She's still correcting me.
Yeah. So thank you for that, because I didn't want to step over that. I kind of heard the quiet and the silence when I mentioned that I was
yeah.
in the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were really there for me. Because as I was sharing last month, in the interview with Lorraine, she was describing her first summit, and we had two totally different experiences. She cried the whole time, and I was quiet the whole time. And people who know me were like, what? You didn't say anything to my group, but other than that, I rarely said anything. So, that you know, it was a real departure for me, being in a room of powerful Black people who were up to something in their lives, who were standing for their transformation and for that, you know, like we said, the transformation of the world. Wow, I was truly blown away.
Mm.
And I knew that for me to stand up and represent anything other than the highest and best of who I was
mm-hmm.
would be not only letting myself down, but letting down, you know, the community that was there and thereby the world. And so I was not willing to let anything but the highest and best of me come out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't open it very much, except in my group. So we have a couple of callers on the line that we've had here for a bit of time, and I would like to just, if that's okay with you for the moment,
yes,
allow them to come on and say a few words, and if they'd like to have a question or make a comment. We've also got some guests in the chat room, so I'm acknowledging them. We've got about four folks over in the chat. So 610-864, if you'd like to identify yourself and give your question or comment, you're welcome. You're live on the air. Okay. It's okay, and you don't have to say anything. That's fine. So let's go to our next person, and that is area code 302-384. If you'd like to identify yourself and give a comment or ask a question of Jay Kenneth, you're welcome to.
Yes. Hello, Kenny?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you? This is Kamika. How are you?
I'm good. I'm okay.
I'm truly and truly inspired by this conversation. I just want to say, number one, you know, just listening to you, your story and listening to the things you've done over the years, you continue to, you know, serve as a change agent in my heart. So thank you so much for sharing your story. It's definitely an inspiration for me. And the best is yet to come for you. So keep on doing what you're doing. There are so many other people that still need to hear your story as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. For those of you who are listening, who may want to call in, that number is 646-716-9827. Or, you know, you're welcome to join us in the chat room, and you can place your well wishes to Jay Kenneth there, and I will relay them to him. Here, is there anything else? No, that's about it. Okay. So, Jay Kenneth, I'm looking at 1992 Highland Park. Was there anything specific, given that that was my first summit and my, you know, first experience of you as facilitator, what do you recall about that event? What is it you'd like to say about the Highland Park, Michigan?
Oh, let's see. Well, what was special about Highland Park was Pat Reed Porter, Lindsay Porter. I think it was right after they had their first black forum. So a lot of folks that they registered into the forum came to the summit. And it was just pretty great to see the community of Highland Park galvanized and kind of working together. So that was it, you know, like, wow.
Got it. I remember part of that, the things that came up in that summit, in the conversation of it, was black men being with white women, and that whole conversation that led to black women being queens and black men being kings. At least that's what I recall of that summit.
Oh yeah.
And
I definitely, yeah, I'm surprised that didn't stick out, but yeah. That was the conversation, because being the universal person that I am was, you know, I was dating a white woman at that time,
mm-hmm.
and it got called in the issue, you know. That's,
yes.
Yeah, got called in the issue, but it's just interesting, you know. Is this something? Well, no, it was. Actually, I do remember so much. I remember being made wrong about it.
Mm-hmm.
That you couldn't do both. You couldn't. How could you be empowering and for the black community, but yet date someone outside of that community? It was just an interesting deal.
And I also remember. You know, and I'm actually looking at the question is, what must I transform within myself,
mm-hmm.
in order to transform the world? And for our listeners who haven't participated in the summit, one of the things we do is we live our lives inside, at that point we were living our lives inside of an inquiry, inside of a question for a year. And so that was the question we were engaged in from the time Atlanta, Georgia ended and Highland Park began. And the facilitators, of which Jay Kenneth was one,
Is that right? Is that we took which question into this?
Right. We took at the beginning of it, you had a question, and then at the end, you come up with a question, which was what was going on for the next summit.
Right. Right. So the question that's associated with the Highland Park one is the one that we left there saying.
Okay, well, that's not how it occurs for me, so this is interesting.
Yeah. This is what came up through the conversation. Because I can play it back now. Because the whole conversation about kings and queens and how we disrespect our women, how we date outside our race, all that, we saw that they were only issues to the degree that there was something unresolved in yourself.
Okay.
So that all those conversations ended up coming back about, well, okay, if you're hooked, not hooked, your opinion about it, the your opinion slash whatever you're going to do about it is going to happen inside of you, not outside of you.
Right.
So all those conversations led back to, well, okay, well, who do you need to be? Like, if this is going on outside of you, and you know, you don't have that much access to dealing with that stuff, but you got a lot of access to how you're going to be about it. And that's how we, all those different conversations,
yes,
king, queen, led back to a looking at, well, wait a minute, then right, wrong, or indifferent, what do I need to transform within myself?
Right.
That, which, and then that transformation inside is something that can be given away that you can transform the world.
Right. Which led to the question for the Oakland Summit, which was, who or what must I be in order to transform?
But see, this is the question that you have associated with the summit is the question that came about at the end of the summit.
I'm agreeing. Well,
oh, okay.
No, I'm not agreeing with you.
Right, right. Because so, if you go back to the very last summit,
mm-hmm,
that was where? That was, which I didn't attend. It has a question?
Yeah.
That's the question. That's the last question that we're living into to the next summit.
Okay, got it, yes.
So every question that's associated with the summit is the opening for the following summit.
Right. My only point was we are living in a question for a year.
Yeah.
And so what I hear you saying is when you left Atlanta, Georgia, who am I being in relationship to the black community and what is it to be black? That was the question you left with in Atlanta.
Yes.
That led to Highland Park, Michigan.
Yes.
And when you left Highland Park, Michigan, the question was, what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world?
Exactly.
But we lived inside of that question until we got to Oakland, California, and we shared what showed up with us inside of that.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Good, great clarification, because you're absolutely right. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I was bringing that up is because then as a facilitator body, of which you are, you know, one of the people who facilitates that conversation in, from the front of the room or the back of the room,
mm-hmm,
we really take on living our lives and using our lives to gain access or to see what's being unfolded in that inquiry. And I brought that up because of what you said about what happened, that it occurred like you were being made wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were putting your life on display.
Mm-hmm.
You were sharing what was happening in your life, and then we were looking at it through the lens of that inquiry and
mm-hmm
whatever distinctions or insights or, you know, interpretations, whatever came up out of that, we would use that for fodder in the weekend, in the
mm-hmm
in the annual event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask you, was there, what other summits stand out for you? What other questions, because I don't know if you still have your list in front of you.
I do.
Okay, great.
And again, so each question kind of captures what happened that had us have that question, right?
Yes.
So Highland Park, New Orleans.
And so before people who don't have the list in front of them, and that list is available at www.blacksummit.org,
mm-hmm,
and I believe it's under the questions for the summit. And for those of you who don't have the questions in front of you, New Orleans is, shall you read it or shall I?
Yeah, you can read it.
Okay. What is my relationship to grace in regards to acknowledgement, abundance, wealth, and well-being? So why does that one stand out for you?
The whole space. See how we got to that. How we got to having that be a question: acknowledgement, abundance, and well-being.
Yes.
Because as people were sharing and getting acknowledged, and
mm-hmm
and people sharing their wealth, and you know, people that were successful, like coming out of the closet, there was a tendency for people not want to get it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, from what I remember, you know, we don't want everybody to know how well we're doing.
Okay. Yes. All right.
You know what I mean? So, like the whole weekend was we were noticing how people were withholding their success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we kept pointing it out. And then we said, well, maybe we just don't know how to be with it. Maybe as a community, as a race, as a group of people, that we have a weakness in terms of being able to be with acknowledgement, abundant wealth, and well-being. So we took on for the next year just to be engaged with them, just see how willing you are to be acknowledged and to be in the space of abundance, to be wealthy and be well, or to notice what barriers or what you have that stops you from doing it.
Great.
So the question really kind of captures what, if you look at the question, say, like, what had to happen to have that be the question?
Yes. That is a good question to engage in.
Mm-hmm.
What had to happen at that particular summit event to have that be the resulting question?
Exactly.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
So say more. Give us a few more.
So that was in 94. 95, New York was okay. 96, Nairobi, Kenya was a very, very, very good one.
Well, and that question was, well, let me go back to New York. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was okay. That was the summit I was the international involvement manager for. We stood for 500 people being there in their seats. There were 504 people in their seats. It's like, okay, I get it occurs for you as, okay, that was okay. In my world, that was like, man.
That was the one, right?
We did what we said we were going to do.
There was no other one. There was no other one, right?
Oh, no, that was my first one, and then there was that one. And then Nairobi, Kenya, too. But going back to the question for New York is, who am I in relationship to being life as transition? So, yeah, what had to have been going on in New York for us to leave in that inquiry?
Right.
And then you said Nairobi, Kenya, which was 96. And it's, what is it to just be? That's what we left with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want to, there may be a few other ones, but if you can hold them for a minute, because there are a couple of things that happen that I want to point to, and, you know, see where you are about it. In somewhere between, I think it was 92 and 93.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have been 91, 92. There were some folks who were in their seats in the summit event, and they saw the five facilitators, which were you, Jay Kenneth, Catherine, Terry, Anthony, and Robin up there. And they said, I'm them. I want to be that. I want to do that. And there was a request from them. They came to you as a group and asked if, you know, you would, the group would take on their training, you know, to be facilitator.
Yeah.
And I understand there was resistance from five.
Oh, yeah.
So speak a little about that, or speak some about that. And when did that occur, between 91, 92, or 92, 93?
It may have been. You're probably right on when it happened. I don't remember. I know that I didn't want to do it. I did not. It was, I guess that's the last part. What was the question that we were living into?
It depends. If it
going,
was 90,
going in, probably transition, probably the transition question.
But no, it could, because by then, because I joined in 93. I joined in when we left in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Amade and I stayed, and we signed. We, you know, put ourselves in.
Right.
In August of 93, and there was already a group. Then they had been with you a year, so that's why I'm thinking it was 92.
Okay. Well, like I said, that it had to be what I had to transform myself. I had to. The question, you know, I had to transform myself to let other people in, because there was still a part of me that liked to wanted to be elite.
Right, and you were.
Yeah,
You're the first. You were the original. You were the ones. You were our trainers. So please, you know, you are our inspiration. You know, like you are our role models. You're it.
And I wanted to be. Wanted that to continue. I didn't want to crowd it.
I got it.
Wasn't enough room on the stage.
Got it. And it was. You know.
That was my initial response, and you know, then I got off it. You know, I realized, you know, it doesn't take, you know, when you get back in touch with the ultimate purposes of why we do what we do, then it's like it was a natural. And that's, I think we kind of got together and said, hey, this is what's being called for.
And so what, was the ultimate purpose? What is it that you said was the ultimate purpose of why we do what we do?
Well, it's, again, it goes back to the Declaration, and the one thing I love about the Declaration is that parts of it sticks to me, and, you know, it's a living document, and sometimes certain things catch me.
Yes.
But the thing that caught me was, like, me being a contribution to the black community. Me.
Yes.
And that's the piece, like, well, this is how I contribute. I
yes.
contribute this way, by training people, training leaders.
Great.
Which is interesting because that's, you know, I think I had the biggest resistance to it. And then when I saw the possibility, I just kind of, you know, took it on. But truth be told, I just noticed it now. That's what I do.
And you know what? I can say that's what I do too. And so I wonder, is that not what human being does?
Mm.
You know, say no. And then look. You know, and I, you know, in my world, it's like, that's okay. That's okay.
No, but I mean, I do it naturally, but that's what I do. That's my life. That's my work.
Oh, got it.
That's my profession.
to train leaders.
Yeah, to train leaders to
yes.
lead. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely, it is. And I'm thankful that you were there and the rest of the body, too, and I'm, you know, you being my bud. Oh, some parts got left out. Yes, how you got to become bud. That may have to be for another show.
Well, here's real quick, and it's probably why you were saying about the one where you were the enrollment manager.
Yes.
Because Danita took on having X amount of people participate in that summit, which required X amount of people to have done the landmark forum to be as a prerequisite.
Right.
And then she and I were co-lead, I lead, she lead, whatever it take, to black communities, and we would travel all around the heartland.
Right.
We used to go back and forth to Milwaukee.
Right.
And that's about
driving.
An hour and a half, 3 hour, 2 hour drive.
Well, yeah, about an hour, hour 45, something like that, yeah, depending upon where we had to go.
Yeah, and that's how we got related.
Right. On those drives, and that was big fun, and that's how J. Kenneth Young came to be Bud in my world. Because at the time, for those, you know, the Cosby Show, and Rudy had that little boy, her friend, she called, whatever his name was, she said, I'm going to call you Bud. And J. Kenneth just occurred for me like that. Our relationship occurred for me. And so he's been Bud for me ever since. And the thing also that I wanted to bring up about Nairobi, Kenya,
mm-hmm.
is that was the first time, that were two firsts, that was the first time we went out of the United States as the International Black Summit.
Right.
Because Africans had been coming to the States, participating in the summit, and Kimani, right, he had been speaking the summit to be in Africa, and that we came in 96. And God, I want to say that was the first time we, but it might have been South Africa where we, delivered the prerequisite.
Let me tell you something. Let me say something interesting that you might not know. In 1986, 87,
mm-hmm.
I was in a program called the Potential Forum Leader Candidate Program.
Okay.
And we had our first weekend. And the first weekend we had in New York, who was there was Kimani. And Catherine, I think that's where I met Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. I met Catherine. Yeah, at a seminar leader weekend. But it's interesting that Kimani, you mentioned Kimani, like,
right.
We go back there. That was like 5 years before we actually had it. But it's interesting. At that time, he was talking about having the forum in Nairobi, which he and his brother did do.
Right. And it's still going on there today.
Yes, it is.
It's in several countries in Africa. So his dream has been realized.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I was saying, that was the first time we went out of the States, and then we followed that the next year by going to Johannesburg, South Africa. And I'm pretty sure we did prerequisites there. I do recall that.
Yep.
I want to ask about what that noise is, but I'm not going to. So what others? Were there a few more that, you know, you have memories of where it's like, yeah, that was another one?
Let me just look. But you see, they're not leaping out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. So, so you, in addition to being facilitator, one of the things that I've mentioned is you also held some accountability. So, you know, you've been in transformation work for 20-plus years now or more because you began before you showed up in EST because
mm-hmm.
you had the TPN group.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that you took on several accountabilities. You took on facilitator body representative on the and you were transition team leader. So what is it you'd like to say to our listeners about being holding accountabilities like that inside of the International Black Summit?
Ooh. Not much. Well, you know, it's something that I appreciated more after the fact than being in it.
Okay.
Particularly with on the coordinating committee being the liaison to Africa, the liaison for the one that was going to occur in Johannesburg.
Okay.
But it was only after it was over did I actually get how big it was. You know, like, you know, I guess you don't really appreciate what you do until you step away from it. So I don't know what you're looking for in that, but it's something that I can't explain. It was just something I appreciated more after the fact than being in it, because being in it was like we used to have these regular – you were on that committee call too, right? I think you were on that one, Danita, because we used to have the conference calls, and I would be calling in from Africa. Or was that something else? But anyway, not a whole lot to say about it other than it was something I am glad that I did, and I only wish I could have been more present to the opportunity in the middle of it. You still there?
Jay Kenneth, are you there? Hello? Oh, there you are. Hello.
I had to call back in.
Yeah.
there was
just a little glitch here. Now I know what that noise was. That was my phone. Okay, so we were in the midst of, and so I'm apologizing to all of our listeners. That was really weird, and no accidents. So we were talking about you and being part of the facilitator liaison to the coordinating committee, and you were saying it wasn't until afterwards that you saw you know, what that was, like the impact of that for you.
Right.
So say something about that.
Well, it says more about where I was, because after I did the Nairobi summit, it was before the summit was over, I decided I was going to come back and live there. So the summit was in August, and I moved to Nairobi in September.
Right.
And so I was there. I was there participating. So a lot of my attention was on, you know, getting settled. Just getting settled and getting acclimated to the country and having fun. It was a fun year of my life. So that's what I'm saying. So I probably didn't give it the accountability as much attention as I could. I probably gave as much as I could have,
mm-hmm.
and think I could have gave more or whatever. But so that's why I said that, you know, just I had so much stuff going on in that year that only when I reflect do I see what, you know, the difference. you know, it's a pretty great thing for like the, for a whole year or at least 6 months to have a regular conference call with a group of people about producing another event in South Africa. So that was pretty cool.
And so I'm glad that you, you know, did that and that you were there to do that, because that was a huge, you know, undertaking for us to be out of the country in
back
Africa,
back,
especially.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back, yeah.
2 years in a row. And since then, you know, we've continued to journey out of the country to Jamaica, West Indies, and Toronto, Ontario, Salvador de Bahia, Brazil, Elmina Beach in Ghana. And this year we're going to, in August, actually the July 31st through August 3rd in Anguilla, British West Indies, and then next year in London. So, you know, like I said, we've continued to expand the conversation. And so you are expanding also. Since you began with the summit, you have moved around. You were here in Chicago when I first met you,
mm-hmm.
and now you are in Ohio. Cincinnati, Ohio.
By way of Philadelphia.
By way of Philly, right. I remember there was a big time in Philly. And you also went from being, when I met you, on staff with the Landmark Education Corporation,
mm-hmm.
and now you are CEO of your own corporation.
That's right.
And you've had done some things in between. So, you know, share with us what you are doing now, because we've got about 3 minutes remaining. So what is J. Kenneth Young, my bud, up doing these days?
Well,
you still in transformation or some form?
Still in transformation.
Okay.
That's transformation and empowering leaders to be leaders, empowering people to be great. I say that if a person is not happy or turned on what they're doing, they probably forgot their vision.
Okay.
They probably forgot their vision or forgot the distinction visioning.
Mm-hmm.
With no vision, there's no passion.
Okay.
So if I look back over my 30-plus years of transformation, it's all what I notice is looking back is that my success has always been about people recovering their vision and igniting their passion. So that's my tagline. What I do is assist people in recovering their vision or to recover the distinction visioning and to ignite their passion and produce outrageous results.
And you do that through your company, which is?
The Young Group, Inc., And
how could they get in touch with you if they're interested in getting back to their vision?
Well, you can go to my website, younggroupinc.com, younggroupinc.com.
Okay.
Or you can call me at 513-459-9021.
Right.
And my email address is kyoung@younggroupinc.com.
Fabulous. Fabulous. And what about, are you still working with the Huntington Learning Center?
I am. I'm married. I met my wife, Karen, in Philadelphia in between Chicago and Cincinnati. And I've been married since 2000.
Congratulations. I already know that, but congratulations. Right.
And she was in the corporate world looking for something to do. And at that time, one of the things that I do is to assist people in buying and sell businesses. And one of the businesses that I identified as one that I think would be great for her to operate was the Huntington Learning Center, it's a franchise. If you heard of Sylvan, you probably heard of Huntington.
Absolutely.
And we're going into our third year. And we're on track. It's working.
Well, J. Kenneth, I thank you so much. We've got probably less than a minute left here. And like I said, it was my pleasure to have my bud, my friend here, to let the world know just how fabulous he really is. Continue success to you in the Young Group and assisting people recovering their vision and the work that you're doing for, you know, with and for children through the Huntington Learning Center. I'd like to remind our visitors that you can get more information about the International Black Summit at our website, www.blacksummit.org. That's BLACKSUMMIT.org. I invite you to send this link to this show to your friends who you'd like to have learn more about the International Black Summit and more about Jay Kenneth and what he's up to with the young group. And that's, give us your web information again, please.
Email address is kyoung@younggroupinc.com. Phone number 513-459-9021.
So, again, Jay Kenneth, it's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed this time talking with you and reminiscing about the early days of the summit and the days that I spent with you in the summit and here in Chicago. Thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Eleanor.
You're welcome. I'll talk with you later.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.